Support comes from the Ohio State University Comprehensive Cancer Center, James Cancer Hospital, and Solove Research Institute. Just as no two people are exactly the same, neither are their cancers. At the OSU CCC James, there is no routine cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It took 20 years after President Harry Truman proposed it to the nation for Congress to enact a government health insurance program for senior Americans. President Lyndon Johnson underscored that fact in 1965 when he traveled to Independence, Missouri, Truman's hometown, to sign Medicare into law. And 57 years later, the law is bigger and more complicated than ever. There's the basic Medicare, and then you have options, and there's a lot from which to choose. And that's what we're talking about today. If you're eligible for Medicare or help someone who is eligible, this show's for you. Eric Roberts is an assistant professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health, Department of Health Policy and Management. Eric Roberts, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And Julie Donahue is professor and chair of the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health, Department of Health Policy and Management. Welcome to All Sides.
Good morning.
Julie Donahue, what's basic Medicare? What do you get no matter what if you sign up for it?
So basic Medicare, we typically think of as Medicare Part A, which covers hospital care and care after hospital stays, and Medicare Part B, which covers doctor office visits and outpatient care. Those are the sort of two traditional parts of Medicare.
So those were around back in the day when it was signed into law in 1965.
Exactly.
When did it change or when did it become more complicated?
I might turn that question to
Eric. Roberts.
So Medicare has slowly evolved at several times. One of the biggest changes occurred in 2003 with the Medicare Modernization Act, which was signed into law by Congress, and it instituted a couple of big reforms. One of them was the introduction of Medicare Part D, which provides prescription drug coverage for seniors. Prior to that reform, Medicare did not cover prescription drugs that you would pick up at like a retail pharmacy. At the same time, Medicare also made changes to Medicare Part C. That was previously known as Medicare Plus Choice. It's a private option where people can receive coverage, their Medicare benefits through a private insurer. That was reformed into what we now know as the Medicare Advantage Program. And many of our listeners are probably looking at their Medicare coverage options right now in the open enrollment period, and Medicare Advantage plans are among the options that they can consider. So the evolution of Medicare today has led to this kind of cornucopia of choices and complexity that seniors have to navigate when they're deciding how to obtain their Medicare coverage.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We are talking about Medicare today. The deadline is next week to sign up for Medicare, to sign up for your open enrollment for Medicare Advantage. Is the open enrollment, I guess this is always something that kind of eludes me. Is this open enrollment period from October to December 6th, is that just for Advantage? Is it for Medicare, the A, B, and D as well?
Really is for all. I'll just say this very quickly. It really is for all. During this open enrollment period, a person who is in original Medicare or traditional Medicare, that is the government-run Medicare program, can decide what type of prescription drug coverage they want. And so they can shop for their prescription drug coverage during this open enrollment period. They could also decide to enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan, which typically will include prescription drug coverage and all of the services and benefits that are covered under Medicare Parts A and B that Julie described. So it's essentially one plan that covers all. And you can switch your Medicare Advantage plan in this period. So if you don't like your prior plan or if you want a plan with a different provider and network, now is the time to consult your options and decide what plan is right for you. of course, that is always a complicated choice. And so we'll get into some of that complexity today, I assume.
What was the philosophy or the logic, if there is any, in creating all of these choices for the nation's older citizens? I don't know who to ask.
Yeah, I think the logic that policymakers brought to giving people choice is really based on a belief that competition among plans would result in lower costs, better managed care, and higher quality, better customer service. And so we've created a system of competition among private plans for Medicare enrollees business, whether that's for management of the full Medicare benefit, inpatient, outpatient, and prescription drugs, or just for the prescription drug benefit. There's been a real belief on the part of members of Congress and other policymakers that competition would yield benefits in terms of both costs and quality.
So does it?
Well, that is a tricky answer. The part of the goal of competition is to control costs to the federal government. As it turns out, as a way of enticing insurers to participate in the Medicare Advantage program, the federal government has historically paid plans a little bit more than it would cost to cover benefits in original Medicare. On the other hand, so the cost to the federal government may not be a savings. On the other hand, Medicare Advantage plans have provided some additional benefits to enrollees that are not available in original Medicare. For example, original Medicare doesn't cover dental, vision, or hearing coverage, and Medicare Advantage plans may offer those as benefits. And so there's some trade-offs. When you sort of go into a Medicare Advantage plan, you're in a private insurer's plan, perhaps with a smaller provider network. But you may get some extra things. And so as a result, the story about whether Medicare Advantage is advantageous is somewhat of a mixed story.
I guess it depends on who you're asking.
It depends on who you're asking and what perspective you're taking.
Well, I mean, I guess as taxpayers or as people who feed into the system, you're taking the question is it more efficient? Does it render more efficient plans and save us money?
So I'll try to sort of give a high level overview of that answer. From a federal government perspective, it probably costs a little bit more than original Medicare. From a beneficiary perspective, if you're sort of shopping for plans, Medicare Advantage plans may help you save some money, but it kind of depends. So you may have lower costs for your prescription drugs, for example, or lower copays when you go to the doctor. That is one feature of Medicare Advantage. But if you want to see a doctor who's outside of your provider network that plan has, for example, you may pay more out of pocket than you would in original Medicare. The answer is it sort of depends. And it's not been clear that overall Medicare Advantage is superior to original Medicare. But for many people, it does provide some attractive additional benefits and may help them save some money. But again, it depends on the individual.
There's so much for people who are eligible for this. It's like election day. It's kind of like campaigning for your vote. What people might refer to as junk mail is ridiculous. It's also similar to like if your kid's going to college and their ACT scores go out and then all the colleges, they go, it's mind-boggling, as you both know. I'm sure you've seen it all. When it comes to the marketing strategies that the Medicare Advantage plans are putting out there, Julie Donahue, what do you want people to focus on first? What are you concerned that they may be missing in all that missing for the trees?
Yeah, so I think it's you're right in the comparisons you made to college and choosing political candidates in terms of just the volume of paper that might be coming into people's homes, the internet ads and TV ads that we're seeing in the last month or so. There is fierce competition among these plans. And just in Columbus, Ohio alone, There are 65 Medicare Advantage plans. There are 24 standalone drug plans. So they're competing, these plans are competing for volume. They make a bigger profit the more enrollees they have. So in terms of what to look for, if you're making this very difficult choice, I would say pay attention to the premium, that's important, but really try to consider how much you expect to use the healthcare system over the coming year. Are you someone with 10 or 12 different medications that you take every month? Then you should really pay attention to what plans cover in terms of the drugs that you take and what you can expect in out-of-pocket costs every time you go to the pharmacy to fill a prescription. To try to make some guesses about what your total out-of-pocket expenditures will be, you need to look beyond the premium, that standard monthly cost that the plans charge, and look at cost sharing. So that's on the prescription drug side. People tend to have relatively stable use of prescription drugs. Most prescription drugs are for chronic conditions. But obviously we don't have a crystal ball. We can't Right. predict the future and when we're going to have a new health condition. So, part of the task of buying insurance is protecting against that future uncertainty and risk.
It, given the uncertainty, at 65, people are a lot healthier now, all things being equal, than they were 57 years ago, right, Eric Roberts? I mean, it's it is more stable. You kind of know by 65, are you going to have sort of a chronic condition going into old age? But on the other hand, you don't know. And it feels like the system sort of punishes people who don't know and do have a drastic change ahead.
Well, in some sense, the point of health insurance is to protect against the unforeseen risk of a high-cost medical condition. But of course, whether a plan that you've chosen is the right one for, including the specialists or covering the services that would help a person manage that condition is hard to know several years before that condition might develop. The point of open enrollment is sort of to allow people to shop for plans. But of course, with such a myriad of plans available, it's hard to know how to pick from one out of 65. Julie mentioned that in Columbus, there are 65 Medicare Advantage plans competing for individuals' business. Nationally, most people have to choose from more than 20 plans. And that's just very, very hard. So on the one hand, choice is supposed to help people sort of adapt to sort of changing needs for care and figuring out whether there's a better plan for them. But of course, sifting through all that detail is really challenging. I'd like to add one other point to this conversation, is that the type of coverage that may be best for you also depends on what other types of health insurance or subsidies that you have. Medicare is not just this one product in a vacuum. There are supplements to Medicare, for example, Medigap plans. And for lower income people, they can get help with their prescription drug costs and their cost sharing, that is the sort of copay when you go to the doctor, if you meet certain income criteria. And that is an additional set of considerations that people should take into account when they're thinking about a plan. But of course, that is an additional layer of complexity.
We're going to get into these complexities. My guests, Eric Roberts, assistant professor in the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health, Department of Health Policy and Management, and also Julie Donahue, professor and chair of the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health, Department of Health Policy and Management. If you have a question or comment about Medicare, the enrollment deadline is coming up next week. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about the differences between traditional Medicare and Advantage, the Advantage programs, Medicare Advantage. If you have a question or comment about any or all of those, give us a call, 614-292-8513. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Medicare open enrollment ends next week, and there is a lot to decide, whether you're eligible for the first time, a seasoned veteran of Medicare, or a relative, friend, or advocate for someone who is. We're talking about the ins and outs of Medicare, the nation's health insurance for Americans 65 and older. Still with us is Julie Donahue. She's professor and chair of the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health, Department of Health Policy and Management, and her colleague Eric Roberts, an assistant professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health. Julie Donahue, you mentioned earlier that there are 65 Medicare Advantage plans available to people in, I guess, Columbus, Franklin County. And Eric, you said that they're more than national average is more around 20. Julie, why so many in Columbus or Franklin County? What's the deal?
Yeah, so it really varies from place to place how much competition there is among Medicare Advantage plans. So there may be reasons why that market is seen as more profitable. There may be a greater share of Medicare enrollees choosing to sign up for Medicare Advantage plans. There may be a greater availability of providers. And so Medicare Advantage plans can create networks of providers to serve Medicare beneficiaries, and importantly, negotiate reimbursement rates with those providers. So there are several factors, and we do tend to see more plans available, more plan availability in more urban areas.
Just more people, that kind of that critical mass.
Exactly.
Eric Roberts, go on. I think trying to do a better job of asking the same question. If something changes with Medicare Advantage with your plan and you want to switch plans, you have higher, there is a bigger hurdle, isn't there, when you change plans?
Well, the intent is to minimize the hurdle by allowing people to view their plan options. And Medicare Plan Finder, the website, is a source that people can consult about their coverage options. I think the challenge and the evidence suggests that with so many choices, people can feel overwhelmed. And you know, if you go on this website, you can look at what different plans cover, what the premium is, for example, but it's harder to know what your out-of-pocket costs are, for example, to Julie's earlier point. Particularly if you have an unexpected need for care that develops later during the year, it can be hard to know whether the specialist that you want to see for that condition is in the plan's network. While that information is sort of published on Plan Finder, it's just very difficult for individuals to navigate all of these different choices. And there's some evidence that with more choices, individuals have just a harder time making a good choice.
Let's take some calls. To that point, let's go to Richard in Hilliard. Richard, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Ann, you're doing a great job with your questions. Thanks for listening to me.
Thank you.
I start Medicare in January. And first off, I know several people that are not educated. They were unfortunate to go to college, and they can't figure this out. 65 options to choose from is ridiculous. I would rather have to do my taxes every month than have to go through it. I personally face the problem where I have private insurance through the state, the Ryan White Foundation. I've spoken to probably 15 different people in the past 4 months to figure out which plan to go through before I finally found somebody to help me out. Mm-hmm. I am one person of thousands. And to say that I have to know I'm going to have a heart attack or a stroke when I'm 75 and I don't have the right coverage, what do you do?
What kind of, he makes the point that I've been making as well, I think, you know, probably more eloquently, but Julie Donahue?
Yeah, so I think, you know, one thing to underscore here is you don't have to predict 10 years into the future. The point of these annual open enrollment periods is to try to only look 1 year into the future. I recognize that doesn't eliminate uncertainty, but it makes things a little bit easier. I agree with you that 65 plan choices, upwards of 65 plan choices, if you include the Part D plans, is overwhelming. And it's actually quite different than the way we've treated employer-sponsored coverage, where typically your employer chooses a plan for you, and then maybe you might have three options about how, you know, costly the premium is and how generous the coverage, but you're not being asked to sort through 65 different plans and choose the best option. So I really do empathize with people going through this process. I would say, you know, one of the most important resources is the Medicare program itself. Calling 1-800-MEDICARE and using the plan finder tool that Eric described on medicare.gov is really helpful. You enter your zip code, you tell, you know, the plan finder tool whether you're looking for one of these Medicare Advantage plans or a standalone drug plan, and it gives you apples to apples comparisons. But yeah, it's not something that you can spend 5 minutes doing. It is, it's a real time commitment. And it's potentially a real time commitment each and every year. So one wonders whether we're getting the biggest bang for the buck from all of this choice.
When you decide, if you decide to go with Medicare, traditional Medicare, or an Advantage plan at the outset, what are the pros and cons of doing that? If you go to an Advantage plan, for instance, and decide, I don't like Advantage, I want to go to traditional Medicare, is there a cost associated with changing horses in the middle of the stream, sort of thing?
Yeah, so I can take that. It might be helpful just to lay out a couple of the trade-offs between original Medicare and Medicare Advantage. So original Medicare, you can see any doctor or hospital that takes Medicare.
Anywhere.
Anywhere, as long as they accept Medicare, which is most doctors and hospitals, you can go. In Medicare Advantage, you generally have to use providers within the plan's network, or if you want to go out of network, you can face much higher out-of-pocket costs. So that's kind of a con. Depending on your preference, Medicare Advantage plans use what we call utilization management strategies. So these are things like prior authorization or maybe sometimes coverage denials if plans determine that something is not covered. And that can be complicated for individuals, and there's some evidence that plans deny services that are actually, you know, eligible for Medicare coverage. Medicare Advantage plans are required to cover all services that original Medicare covers, but they can require you to jump through more hoops to get them, essentially. On the benefits side, you may have lower out-of-pocket costs for some of your drugs and doctor's office visits. There's an annual out-of-pocket cap on spending, which actually does not apply in original Medicare. So if you have very, very high medical costs, your out-of-pocket may be lower in Medicare Advantage than in original Medicare. And you can get some additional benefits like dental, vision, and hearing coverage that is not covered in original Medicare, although this can vary by plan. So let's say that you're in a Medicare Advantage plan and you decide, I don't like the narrower network of providers, I want to switch into original Medicare. There can be a cost with switching. And that cost can come both with sort of the time it takes to sort of navigate the switch, but also many people in original Medicare buy a supplement plan to help them pay their out-of-pocket costs. These are sometimes known as Medigap plans. Turns out that Medigap plans can get more expensive if you don't enroll in them right when you turn 65. So if you're 66 and you've been in a Medicare Advantage plan since being in Medicare, you want to switch into original Medicare. It may now cost you more in terms of premium to buy a Medicare supplement plan. And so people may find that their total costs go up in original Medicare.
So it's the Medigap plan that goes up. And then if you decide to switch between Medicare Advantage providers, only the first time they have to take you. After that, they can not refuse coverage. Is that right?
So
you have to apply for it, right? You can't just automatically get into any Advantage plan you want, or can you?
People are generally free to choose among Medicare Advantage plans.
Okay. And do you know if you're getting charged the same thing as your neighbor is, or do they retirement homes, kind of, it's like a used car dealership sort of situation?
So the out-of-pocket cost of care can vary between Medicare Advantage plans. I will say that Medicare Advantage plans are regulated, and the federal government requires that they cover certain services, all of the services and benefits that original Medicare covers. There are regulations around the total out-of-pocket costs that people can have. But as I mentioned earlier, things like coverage denials or prior authorizations mean that one plan might decide to cover something that another doesn't. One plan's network might include a cardiologist that another's doesn't.
Okay. Scott in Hilliard, you're on the air. Hi, Scott.
Yes, hi. Yes, my comment is very right on point with what your speaker was talking about. My 96-year-old father recently became ill, and so I've been trying to deal with his Humana Medicare Advantage plan and the denials we've been getting from them. And I came across, just in April of this year, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General came out with a report about the inappropriate denials by Medicare Advantage plans. The first sentence is, our case file reviews determined that Medicare Advantage plans sometimes delayed or denied Medicare Advantage beneficiaries access to services, even though the requests met the Medicare coverage rules. The Medicare Advantage plans also denied payments to providers for some services that met both Medicare rules and their own rules. By denying these requests these Medicare coverage rules, they may prevent or delay beneficiaries from receiving medically necessary care and can burden providers. And so it really opened my eyes. I was glad I never picked a Medicare Advantage plan, and I'm looking to try to get my father out of it just because of the denials from Humana Medicare Advantage and this report, which was rather compelling.
Julie Donahue, it feels like they're just sort of throwing a lot of older people to the wolves who don't have someone like Scott around to help them out. Scott, thanks a lot for that call. Julie?
Yeah, I think it does take quite a lot of self-advocacy or family support in order to navigate these complex plans. And that can be particularly difficult when you're encountering an illness that comes with high bills. So it is concerning that we see this high rate of denials. And this is where, federal oversight is obviously really critical.
So the Inspector General's report, Eric Roberts, that was significant. Is it followed up by any, improvement in oversight?
So that report focused on an audit of denials in 2019, and it found that essentially 20% of denials were for services that Medicare ought to have covered, which is a very high rate of denials. However, because that report is relatively recent, we don't know much about whether denials of appropriate services have gone down in the period since. I will say that this is a concerning issue, and this is why there is a trade-off. The lower costs and extra benefits in Medicare Advantage do come with these challenges of navigating an insurance system where the insurer, and I just maybe make one point here, Medicare Advantage plans get a fixed payment from the government to cover all services and benefits for a person. So they make money by, controlling utilization. Some of this can be done through appropriate care management, provision of preventive services to help people avoid the need for more expensive care. And some of this, unfortunately, can occur through denials of appropriate services. And to Julie's point, federal oversight is critical here, but we have not, I think, attained a level of federal oversight or demonstration of the benefits of greater oversight that would reassure me about these issues.
You know, and also a Kaiser Family Foundation study of 2019 enrollees found that among people with Medicare, Black beneficiaries are more likely to have cost-related problems with their health care than white beneficiaries. The analysis found that the racial disparity persisted among beneficiaries in both traditional Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans. Julie Donahue, what do we know about why that is?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the racial disparities that we observe in Medicare mirror the racial disparities that we see in U.S. healthcare generally, wherever you look, whether it's private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, we tend to see racial differences, and that might arise from a whole host of issues and barriers. We do know that the income distribution for racial and ethnic minority beneficiaries in Medicare, it does tend to be lower. And that the benefits that come from dual eligibility for Medicaid as well as Medicare can really help to reduce those racial disparities. And unfortunately, many people who are eligible for those additional subsidies are not taking advantage of them, maybe because they don't know they exist.
Which is just fine with maybe the Medicare Advantage plan, right?
Well, actually, the Medicare Advantage plan does have an incentive to help people enroll in these subsidies. It helps pay for out-of-pocket costs that the plan might otherwise be using some of the sort of additional federal dollars it gets to cover.
Okay.
I think to Julie's point, the issue is that there's we've just been talking about Medicare so far, but in addition to Medicare, there are, and I can count them on my hand, many other options to help people pay for their out-of-pocket costs in Medicare, and that is a complex system itself that individuals should consider as they think about their Medicare coverage options.
But that involves understanding what it's income-based, doesn't it, a lot of those?
Yeah, so I'll just tell you the sort of the major programs here. They're all income-based, but they all have different income requirements. So there's the Part D Extra Help Program. This helps people pay their drug costs. There's Medicaid, which helps people pay all of their out-of-pocket costs for hospitals and doctors. It will also cover some stuff that Medicare doesn't, like long-term care. So if you need to be in a nursing home, Medicaid will help pay for that. And then there are three other programs known as the Medicare Savings Programs that help with some of your Medicare out-of-pocket costs and premiums only. And they each have different eligibility rules, but they can help you lower your overall out-of-pocket cost and help get additional benefits that may not be covered by original Medicare or Medicare Advantage.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about Medicare and Medicare Advantage today. The deadline for open enrollment is next week. So if you have a question or if you're an advocate for somebody who's working their way through this and you have a question, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Medicare open enrollment ends next week, and there's a lot to decide, whether you're eligible for the first time, a seasoned veteran of Medicare, or a relative, friend, or advocate for someone who is. We're talking about the ins and outs of Medicare, the nation's health insurance for Americans 65 and older, and Medicare Advantage. So with us is Julie Donahue. She's professor and chair of the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health, Department of Health Policy and Management, and Eric Roberts, assistant professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health, Department of Health Policy and Management. Do you have a question or comment? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What is this? What's the best strategy if you're working beyond 65, you have good health insurance, stick with it, but you still have to sign up for Medicare, or at least tell them you're around and you're eventually will? Or what's the deal, Eric Roberts?
So everyone should sign up for Medicare when they turn 65. If you've been working for at least 40 quarters or a spouse has, you're automatically eligible for Medicare Part A, which is the part that covers hospital insurance. But you should enroll in Medicare Part B. And in fact, if you enroll late, you pay a lifetime penalty in your Medicare premium. So make sure that when you turn 65, you enroll in Medicare Parts A and B. And then consider your coverage options. The goal of the annual enrollment period, which we're in right now, is to help people reevaluate their options if they're continuing in Medicare, or evaluate their options if they're new to Medicare. Every year, about 5 to 10% of people switch their Medicare coverage, which is a fairly low rate, but this is the time to do it.
Let's see. Let's take a call. Scott in Delaware, you're on the air. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Ann. This show's going really good today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Two years ago, I chose Original Medicare because I attended some classes at the Senior Citizens Club up here in Delaware County, Swartz Point had. And those classes were very, very good. And based on what I learned, I chose Original Medicare, mainly for the following reason. One of your previous callers was concerned, like, what happens if a medical emergency befalls you and you wind up in the hospital and you don't know what's going to happen. So you're laying there, whether you're conscious or semi-conscious and, you know, kind of out of it. And, you know, all these providers, doctors drop in, take your pulse, put a stethoscope on you. And then the next thing you know, you have these charges on your medical bill from the hospital that you didn't even know about. They weren't in your network and you have to pay that. You don't have to worry about that with Original Medicare. And I got a good supplement plan, too, that takes care of every little bit of it. And so that was the reason why I chose Original Medicare, mainly just because it takes away the worries from a situation like that, where you don't have to worry about networks. You don't have to worry about providers being in the network if they show up at your hospital room door. And that's kind of, to me, the main reason to have insurance in the first place, is to kind of eliminate those kind of headaches.
Yeah. Scott, thanks a lot for that call. I don't know who wants to respond to that. Julie Donahue?
Yeah, I think what Scott's talking about is this, you know, this preference for flexibility and not being limited to a certain set of hospitals or providers. And that's, you know, that's a real strong preference for some individuals, they might value that more than some additional benefits that Eric previously described that some Medicare Advantage plans might offer. So it really does come down to these individual choices.
Thanks a lot, Scott, for that call. The number is 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Cassie in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Cassie.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am a retired nurse. I did a lot of years in gerontology and in cancer. And these ads that come on every September, October make me pretty angry, because I appreciate that the Advantage plans offer dental and hearing aids, but when they advertise, they never talk about the other side of the coin, and I think that's unfair. You guys have done a good job of fleshing out the choices, the compromises, the back and forth, but that's never mentioned in the ads. They don't talk about what might not be covered, what kind of hassles you'll have navigating the system, which providers won't take that plan because the reimbursement is not good and the hassles are high. And I just want those ads. I mean, Joe Namath, really? I want Joe Namath to talk about what's not covered. You know?
Let me ask you, Cassie, thanks a lot, because I'm wondering, we've talked about how there is oversight of Medicare Advantage plans. I have to do, you know, provide certain things and whatnot. But is there oversight or regulation of how they advertise all these plans? I'm not sure who to ask, Eric Roberts or Julie Donahue?
So Medicare Advantage plans are fairly regulated in terms of the types of benefits that they have to offer. And there is some regulation regarding how they sort of display their plan benefit design, the sort of benefit package that they provide on Medicare Plan Finder. But I will say that the advertisements they don't allow people to fully evaluate the trade-offs between enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan versus Original Medicare. Their plans cannot advertise false information, but they're not obligated to tell you about the trade-offs. And that's why I think that these discussions are so important, and why I think it's also important for policymakers to think about improving the navigational assistance that we provide seniors so that they can better evaluate these trade-offs. Frankly, without the benefit of sort of the public service that you're doing with this show, it would be much harder for people to understand the types of trade-offs that are involved, and it shouldn't be such a secret.
Yeah, I think the other thing that comes to mind is, you know, the other kind of advertising that drives people crazy are prescription drug ads. But those are required to list the side effects as well as the benefits. And we don't see the same rules applying to Medicare Advantage advertising.
No, that's an interesting way to think about it. Cassie, thanks a lot for that call. Harold in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes. A little bit ago, your guest said you should sign up for Medicare when you turn 65. And I was led to believe that you don't have a choice. You have to sign up for Medicare when you turn 65. Is that true, not true?
Well, kind of like you have to show up and say, yeah, I'm out here, and it's a bureaucratic thing, isn't it, Eric?
Well, so you don't have to sign up for Medicare at age 65, but if you don't enroll in Medicare Part B, the part of Medicare that covers your doctor's visits, and you decide to enroll later, you can pay a higher premium, and that higher premium you will pay for the remainder of your life. So you have to enroll. So essentially, there is a financial penalty to not enrolling in Medicare at age 65. But you can choose whether then to receive those Medicare benefits through Original Medicare or Medicare Advantage. That choice remains yours as a beneficiary, and you're not compelled to be in one form of Medicare or another. I hope that cleared that up.
Yeah, and I'll just add one thing to that. So, Eric, you talked about the late enrollment penalty if you sign up after age 65 for Part B, B as in boy. That late enrollment penalty also applies to Medicare Part D, the drug benefit. Every month you delay signing up for Medicare Part D increases the monthly premium you pay. So there really is a disincentive to waiting.
Why do they do that? Who cares?
So I think policymakers are trying to kind of have it both ways. They want to give people choice. They don't want to make certain benefits mandatory. At the same time, they're managing an insurance benefit where they want to pool risk. So they want to have people coming into Medicare, early on in their eligibility when their costs may be lower. And they want to protect people against those uncertain and unpredictable health events, rather than waiting until people know they will need coverage and signing up later when their expenditures are significantly higher. And it's quite different, our approach to Medicare enrollment and Medicare managed care participation is quite different than what we see in Medicaid, for example. I think it's really kind of trying to manage those trade-offs.
Mike in Reynoldsburg, you're on the air. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Ann.
Go ahead.
Quick question for you, if I could.
Yep.
About Medicare Advantage plans and the networks. So, for example, I'm getting ready to sign up for Medicare next year. And if I sign up for a Medicare Advantage plan, say, with a company who's multi-state or national, for example, say, United Healthcare, I think they're more than just here in Ohio. And I go to a state, another state where United Healthcare provides services, is my plan that I sign up for, my Medicare Advantage plan that I sign up for in Ohio, is that going to be out of network then because I'm out of state? In other words, do the Medicare Advantage plans networks go beyond the state that you sign up in?
I think that's a depends answer. Eric Roberts?
It's a depends answer. The short answer is that the networks, the plans will form are local. So they're really designed to serve members of that plan's area. If you move to a different state, for example, you would actually probably need to enroll in a different Medicare Advantage plan. It could be from the same insurance company, but that would cover sort of the providers in that geographic area. Let's say that you're traveling, though, and you have a medical emergency. There are emergency coverage provisions where you can go out of network for emergency care while you're away from the place where you live.
Right. So the example that you gave, that the caller gave, there's not one national United provider network. There are multiple United provider networks in different geographic areas. So these are really local networks.
And that would be just a question you would have to ask the provider when you're considering signing up with them, right?
That's right. You can look at the providers that are in your plan's network when you go to medicare.gov and search through plans. If it's challenging, though, because you don't always know what provider you'll need later in the year, at the start of the year, going back to an earlier theme that we had, that people are having to make choices not knowing all of the things they have to anticipate over the coming year. And so that can be a challenge. Now, there is regulation about the plans have to have certain providers in their network, and they have to meet a minimum number of providers in the network. But some plans have pretty narrow networks. They might only cover 30% of physicians in an area. And so if that doesn't cover your physician, that can be very hard to get the care that you want in that plan, or you'd have to pay more out of pocket to get it.
Is there an obligation on the part of the Advantage provider to let their, whatever you call it, clients or whatever, know that something's changed that would affect them? So, but maybe narrowing the network, which would eliminate access to their doctor. Does the Advantage provider have to let the person know that, or is that something the individual has to ask year after year?
Yeah, it's a really good question. A substantial change in benefit design, the plan would have to let people know. But if a provider, like one provider, left that plan's network, generally it's the case that a person will only find out when they go to that provider and the provider says, I'm no longer participating in that Medicare Advantage plan's network. And so this can be a challenge for people.
Especially for a much older person, maybe who's, the question about if you're covered by Medicare, traditional Medicare, but maybe through your employer, you see the retirement system or whatever also offers dental and vision. Can you go ahead and do that separately? Is that like a supplement type thing that you can just do? That's not a Medicaid or Medicare Advantage program, is it?
No.
Go ahead, Julie.
Oh, it's just, some employers do offer retiree benefits, and it's generally advantageous to take advantage of those benefits when they exist. I would encourage your listeners to look into that
and take advantage of it. If they can.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank both of you. This is a lot. It's kind of all over the place. It's because everybody's different. But I really appreciate your efforts to help educate people about this. Eric Roberts, assistant professor in the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health, Department of Health Policy and Management. Thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
And Julie Donahue, professor and chair of the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health, Department of Health Policy and Management. Thanks to you, Julie. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Anne. Good to be with you.
And that is it for now. Good luck out there, everybody. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.